to the garden alone, while the dew is still on the roses, and the voice I hear falling on my ear, the Son of God discloses. And he walks with me, and he talks with me, and it tells me that I am his own. And the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known. Whoa.
Sound of his voice is so sweet, the birds hush their singing, and the melody that he gave to me within my heart is ringing. And it was
with him, though the night around me be falling,
but he bids me go through the voice of woe. His voice to me is calling.
Oh, his voice to me is calling.
And he gives us the victory in every battle we fight. You know this. Sing it out.
When all I see is the battle, you see my victory. Oh, thank you, Lord. When all I see is the mountain, you see the mountain move.
Amen.
And as I walk through the shadow, your love surrounds me. Oh, yes, it does. there's nothing to fear now, for I am safe with you.
Come on, church, let's declare this together.
So when I fight, I fight on my knees, with my hands lifted high. Oh God, the battle belongs to you, and every fear I lay at your feet, and I'll sing through the night. Oh God, the battle belongs to you. Against me,
He'll never leave us or forsake us.
For Jesus, there's nothing impossible for you. Stand against the power of our God. You shine in the shadow. You win every battle. Nothing can stand against the power of our God. And Almighty Fortress, you go before us.
That's right.
And nothing can stand against the power.
For today. Hey, before you're seated, turn to the person on your right or your left and say, my victory comes from Jesus. My victory comes from Jesus. God's power, His presence is here today with us. Please be seated.
Well, amen. As you're being seated, we want to take this opportunity to welcome you to worship at Prestonwood today. I don't know about you, church family, but aren't you glad to know that God has won every battle today? Aren't you glad that Jesus makes all things new in our lives today? If you're glad about that, say amen. I don't know what brought you to worship today. I don't know what you brought into worship today. I don't know what you're dealing with, what you're going through, but I know this. I know that when we come to meet with the living God, He never leaves us the same. And whatever you're going through today, whatever your need is today, whatever's on your heart today, we're going to learn in just a little while in the message the power of prayer, that you can take anything to God today in prayer. And so that's why we've come to worship, because our God has won every battle. He goes ahead of us. He's won the victory. He's filled our lives with love and hope. And I'm talking to somebody right now. He's filled our lives with hope and peace and joy. And I don't know about you, but choir, that's why I came to worship. Church, that's why you came to worship. So we're not just here to sing songs and go through the motions. We're here because Jesus changed our lives. And so we sing, we worship, and we're here to meet with a living God. If you're a first-time guest here to Prestonwood, this is what we're all about. We're all about Jesus changing us from the inside out, making us new, and living for Him in every part of our lives. So if you are visiting with us for the very first time, our hope and our prayer is that you find a place that you can call family, that you can call home. It's our joy and it's our honor to be able to welcome you, to greet you. And for those of you connecting with us online, it's such a joy for us week in and week out, all throughout the week, not only in our worship services, but in our connection service and so many other places online, to be able to connect with you around the world, online community. If you're worshiping with us, especially the first time, we want to give you a very special greeting today. And if you are here for the first time, we want you to do just one thing for us. Sometime during this service, if you'll take out your mobile device, and if you'll text the word CONNECT to the number 74788. Now, when you do that, what's going to happen is some information is going to populate there on your device. It's a little link that you can click on. In just a moment, you can share a few things with us, some information. What we want to do is know how to pray with you and for you and how to encourage you in the days ahead. You can also go to Guest Central at the end of this service, where we have a team of folks that would love to talk with you. We have a gift for you. If you're a first-time guest with us, we want to invite you to have lunch with us at our Main Street Buffet. Now, this is first-time guests only, church family. Don't be like you've been here for years and years and you're a first-time guest. For our first-time guests, we want to welcome you to join us for a lunch on us as just a way to say thanks for being our guest today, a little gift that we want to give to you. Well, I'm so very glad to have my friend Dr. Jeremiah Johnson in the pulpit today. Don't you want to say a word of welcome to him? Dr. Johnson is our pastor of apologetics, worldview, cultural engagement. He has a powerful word for us today out of the Lord's Prayer in Matthew chapter 6. We want to get our hearts ready for what the Lord would say to us about what it means to come to Him in prayer. And as we do come in this time of worship, family, we do want to remember what a joy it is to be generous and what a blessing it is for you and I as members of this church to bring our tithes and our offering, the first fruits of all that God's given us, as an act of worship back to Him. So in whatever way that you give, online, in our giving boxes, which you can find at any exit outside of the worship center when you leave today, you can give today, you can give throughout the week, you can give anytime. But we want to be cheerful and generous givers. And Prestonwood family, we want to say what a joy it is and what a blessing you are in your generosity week in and week out. The ministries of this church and the message of the gospel go forth from this place and from our lives victoriously every day because of your faithfulness in your giving. So let's continue that, and let's go to the Lord right now and pray and ask Him to move mightily in this service. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Lord Jesus, this is your time. We are your people. This is your hour to move like never before. Father, our hearts have come ready to worship, to lift up in song, to proclaim what you've done in our lives. You've saved us. You've made us new. So, Lord, right where we are, we just say thank you. And, Father, we do ask for your servant, Dr. Johnson, this morning that you'd speak through him in a mighty way. Lord, our prayer is that just even one today who walked in the doors of this place, maybe broken, maybe lost, maybe hopeless and helpless, maybe their life is marked by more questions than answers, that because of the preaching of your word today, Father, when they leave, they would leave a brand new person because they've met Jesus as their Lord and as their Savior. So, Father, for those of us that know you as Lord, we would worship you right now in this moment because you are our living hope. So, Father, would you inhabit our praise? Would you be lifted high? And we love you, Jesus. We welcome you in this place, and we pray all of this in your mighty name. And all God's people said, amen.
I want to invite you to stand once again. There's someone in this house that needs a big dose of hope in your life today. Through the person of Jesus, let's worship.
How great the chasm that lay between us. How high the mountain I could not climb. In desperation, I turned to heaven.
and spoke your name into the night.
Then through the darkness, your loving kindness tore through the shadows of my soul. The work is finished, the end is written. Jesus Christ, my living hope.
Let the church sing this song.
Who could imagine so great a mercy? What heart could fathom such boundless grace? The God of ages stepped down from glory to wear my sin and bear my shame. The cross has spoken, I am forgiven. The King of Kings calls me his own. Beautiful Savior, I'm yours forever. Yes, Jesus Christ, my living home.
Let's declare it out.
Oh, hallelujah. Declare the grave has no claim on me.
Sing it out.
Then came the morning that sealed the promise. Your buried body began to breathe. Out of the silence, the roaring lion declare the grave has no is the victory.
powerful, what a powerful truth that we celebrate together. Please be seated, and let's continue to worship our powerful God.
Thank you.
He certainly is a shield for us. You know, the Hebrew word shield is the word magen. Would you say that word out loud with me? Magen. In fact, if you go to Israel today, there, I have many friends, many parents name their sons Magen. When God appeared to Abraham, he said, Abram, I am going to be a shield to you. And it's a promise that he repeated to David, and he repeats it to you and me today. Let's give Prestonwood Worship another round of applause. Praising God. That song is a prayer. We're continuing our Distinctives of Discipleship series, Distinctives of Disciples, today by talking about how to communicate with God in prayer. The Bible text, if you take your Bibles, go to Matthew chapter 6. We're going to be looking at actually verse 7 to 13. The prayer itself is only four verses, which we'll get to. But go ahead, and if you don't have a copy of God's Word for you, just reach in that pew for the pew Bible in front of you. Find the New Testament. It's the first book of the New Testament, the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 6. And have something to write with as we go to God's Word today for what the Holy Spirit would teach us practically about prayer and communicating with the Lord. There was a young lady who was called into the mission field by the name of Amy Carmichael. And I want you to look at Amy's face. Amy has brown eyes, which is unique because she was born in Ireland to an Irish family that all had blue eyes. And Amy asked the Lord again and again to change her eye color from brown to blue because she felt left out in that Irish family growing up as the only girl with brown eyes. How many of you know that sometimes the best things are God's unanswered prayers in our life? Because Amy exemplifies this. She became a Christian at the age of 15. She was called to the mission field, and she actually became an illustrious author in India. In fact, some of the words that you know of Amy Carmichael's, you might be recognize the words. She would say things, give me the love that leads the way, the faith that nothing can dismay, the hope no disappointments tire, the passion that will burn like fire. Let me not sink to be a clod, make me thy fuel, flame of God. And Amy took that energy for Christ for 56 years to southern India. She never went on furlough, and she spread the gospel powerfully, writing 37 books. But back to those brown eyes. Little did she know, when God blessed her to be the only kid with brown eyes in her family, that God would call her to the mission field in India, where in southern India, in their culture, in the Hindu temples, when young ladies would hit puberty, they would take the young ladies into the work of temple prostitution and worshiping the myriad of Hindu gods. And there's Amy in the 1800s, late 1800s, into the 20th century, and it was she who would disguise herself. She would actually, and I checked this out with a good friend of mine yesterday, Kishore, who actually speaks Tamil from southern India, and she would take coffee beans and she would rub them over her Irish skin. And she would go in and she would do rescue projects. She would literally rescue girls from the Hindu temples, bring them to faith in Jesus Christ to educate them and help them along their way, honoring the Lord in her life. Little did she know how those brown eyes would be a blessing to her ministry for 56 years. Today we're going to be talking about prayer. And we're going to also thank God for unanswered prayer. And we're going to thank the Lord that sometimes unanswered prayers are actually answers to prayer, and we just didn't even know it at the time, just like Amy Carmichael. Will you recite the Lord's Prayer with me? This is a prayer that's very unique because the disciples are continually wanting to know how to communicate with God in prayer. And Jesus responds, and he says, pray like this. He didn't say pray this prayer like some kind of mindless verbiage, but pray like this, he said. And then let's pray it out loud together. If you know the Lord's Prayer, let's pray it out loud together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And lead us, and for help us, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. That is the Lord's Prayer. It's actually repeated from Matthew chapter 6 in Luke's gospel at Luke chapter 11. And again, Jesus actually makes it even shorter there. It's only a couple of verses in Luke chapter 11. The message title today is Pray Like Jesus. How do we learn to pray like Jesus? Because Jesus, being God's son, obviously knew how to communicate with the Father in prayer. And today, I've learned three things from this passage that I would like to pass on to you. There are 3 points in the message today. I want to encourage you to write these down, and then we're going to look at what the Bible has to say about how we can pray like Jesus. Number one, we all need to pray shorter prayers, ladies and gentlemen. Did you know the majority of the prayers in the Bible are actually quite brief? We're going to discuss that. Number two, we need to learn to pray the Scripture. We have to pray the Word of God. And then number three, Jesus, if we really want to pray like Jesus, your prayers are going to be frequent and they're going to be organic. What does that mean? You're going to be able to pray at any time, anywhere, about anything. That's how Jesus prayed. Those are the 3 points from today's message. Now, it's interesting because illustrations of brief prayers abound in the Scripture. In fact, there is no chapter and verse in the 750,000 words in your English Bibles that tells you to pray a certain length. In fact, there is no passage that makes the claim that because you prayed fill-in-the-blank amount of minutes, your prayer was heard. In fact, we see the opposite. We see that we serve a God who's unique from all the other false gods and that he responds sometimes to a single word in prayer. In fact, in the Christian life, we learn that if you are a Christian, you are baptized in the Holy Spirit. As Pastor said in his previous 2 messages, how the Holy Spirit is with us. And do you want to hear something powerful? You may feel like you're alone today watching online or this video or listening on podcast. Even in here, you may feel lonely. Do you know every time you pray, you never pray alone? The Holy Spirit of God prays when you pray. That's Romans chapter 8. I love the authenticity of Paul. Even when we don't know how to pray, the Spirit himself bears witness within us, the Spirit of truth. He prays with groanings which cannot be uttered. Sometimes if you've been devastated, you've just looked to the Lord in tears, you have nothing to say. God hears the devastation in your heart. Sometimes you're so excited you can't even put into words the answer to prayer you just receive, and God hears the incense of your heart in excitement. The disciples want to know how to pray, and I want to know how to pray better. Now, here's some interesting facts about prayer. I want to make sure you get this down. Check out this infographic. There are 651 recorded prayers in the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. So the point of this message is to move us into more of a habit of prayer. And so one of the neat Bible studies that you can do yourself or with your spouse or your family or your friends, start studying the 651 prayers in the Bible. Open up to the middle of your Bible if you want at any time, and you're going to probably land somewhere in the book of Psalms. One Bible scholar, a Psalter scholar, said that all 2,051 Psalms in the book of Psalms are prayers. They could be praises. You know, we all just prayed together, singing that amazing worship song about the Lord, our Magen, our shield. That was a prayer. We all prayed together, even as we sung together. 28% of the Psalms are Psalms of Lament. We'll get to that in a minute when we talk about praying the Scripture, praying the Jesus way. Psalm 119 is a fascinating passage. It's incredibly artistic in the Hebrew in which it's written. It is written in a language of prayer, explaining the attributes of God, the goodness of God. But did you know the longest prayer in the Bible is actually in the Old Testament book of Nehemiah? And Nehemiah's prayer can be prayed, are you ready for this? In a whopping 7 minutes. Do you know what the longest prayer is in the New Testament? Well, you do, because it's right up there on the screen, church family. It's the high priestly prayer of Jesus in John chapter 17. It's actually 3 minutes. I had to correct myself last night because I read John chapter 17 at what they call pulpit speed. And it only took me 3 minutes to read the high priestly prayer of Jesus, which is a fascinating concept because Jesus says, pray like this. It's 4 verses in Luke 11 and in Matthew 6. And then when he actually goes and prays his great prayer for the unity of the people of God, the unity of the Father and the Son, it only takes 3 minutes. So the Bible seems to continually stress when we study prayer that this is a constant communication with God. Ephesians 5 says, pray constantly. Anytime you see something praiseworthy, praise God for it. Anytime you see something that the Lord did, say, hallelujah, praise the Lord. That is so great. I know that every good and every perfect gift comes from whom? James says, the Father of heavenly lights, with whom there's no variableness nor shadow of turning. And then we learn, and we're going to continue to see when we pray, we often get it wrong when we pray. Can I tell you, as your teacher in God's Word this morning, prayer is hard for us all. Be careful if anyone ever says they're really good at praying. I'd like to meet that person. I find it challenging. Our spiritual lives, which have been redeemed by Jesus Christ, are still so influenced by our own sinful nature. We want to somehow change prayer into something legalistic. We want to change prayer into something that we've done, that we need to brag about, that we need to talk about. But Jesus wants us to get to the point. He is our ever-present help in time of need. The book of Hebrews says that Jesus, even now, is interceding before the Father. Therefore, we come with boldness. We come with grace and mercy to find help in our moment of need. And you know, I don't know about you, in our moment of need, we don't have time to give God all the details. Isn't it a blessing we don't need to give God all the details? We might just need to pray, Jesus, save. Oh, God, help me right now. Lord, help me. Some of you pray that prayer when you see a policeman when you drive by on the tollway. Oh, Jesus. Have you ever heard that prayer? Help me, Lord. Those are prayers too. So pray like Jesus, okay? Pray shorter prayers. Moses cried out to the Lord for mercy, and that prayer takes up a whopping 4 verses in Deuteronomy chapter 9, verses 26 to 29. Elijah, don't you love this story in 1 Kings 18? The prophets of Baal are going through their gyrations. I identify with it because when Audrey and I were ministering in Asia, we went to a temple where you had to chuck a coin at a certain way into a fountain, slap your hands together, and if you did it just right superstitiously, your prayer might have a chance to hit one of the gods. And I saw people doing this fervently and sincerely. Isn't it amazing that Elijah begins to taunt the prayer life of the false prophets of Baal? He goes so far in the Hebrew text to say, maybe your God can't hear you. Maybe he's in the bathroom right now. Just go read the text for yourself. He prays a whopping 2-verse prayer, and God brings fire from heaven. He didn't have to do any of the gyrations. God help. Some of you today, you've allowed someone to stop you from praying because you think, I can't pray like my sister can or my brother can. And God just wants you to talk to him. You know, I've had to learn, Audrey and I just recently celebrated 19 years of marriage. I am a better communicator as a husband today than at 23 years of age when I was married. Did you know that? Wouldn't it be weird if I told Audrey, we're going to talk once a week on Sunday? Or if I said, we'll talk every other day. She would wonder, what's wrong with me? I mean, I can't go a few minutes without texting without her wondering if something catastrophic has happened. Do you know Jesus wants to talk to you like that? Now, certainly, we should have times where we have a real concert of prayer, and the Bible shares that. The Bible discusses Jesus praying all night on a certain occasion. But again, my point is practically, and God's word is so practical. Remember, the word of God is about real people, real places, real events. And the Holy Spirit meets us in the cut and thrust of life. And so I want you to learn something, to pray short, powerful prayers throughout the day. And that's what the Lord's Prayer models for us. All of Paul's recorded prayers are short, but they are beautiful, they're to the point, and they are powerful. Pray shorter prayers, friends. That's what I learned from Jesus. In fact, there's this great quote from an early church father who actually served in Mount Sinai in Egypt, and his name is John Climacus. And this was actually during the Islamic invasion in the 7th century of the Holy Lands. And I love this quote, "Let your prayer be completely simple, for both the publican and the prodigal son were reconciled to God in a single phrase." Isn't that refreshing? You know, in the triumphal entry, they prayed this prayer. Hosanna. Remember that prayer? Hosanna, God save now. That was a prayer. It wasn't just a song or a chant. That was a prayer in one word, in one phrase. Now, there's a power statement in the Lord's Prayer when he says, pray like this, our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. And this is eschatological in the sense it's also praying for the second coming of Jesus Christ. And this is very germane to things that are happening in the world today, and that's why I'm delighted that today, PowerPoint Ministries, which is a wonderful media ministry of Prestonwood Baptist Church, some of you have already seen it this morning on Channel 8 because you've been blowing up my phone about it. It's going to be on TBN, Daystar, all of the networks. We have produced a special on Israel where Dr. Graham, myself, we interview Messianic rabbi. And remember, some of you may have never heard that term. A Messianic rabbi is a rabbi who is what I call a completed Jew, a Jew who has come to faith in Jesus Christ. But yet he studied Hebrew, he has studied Hebrew Bible, and he is so articulate. In fact, he was very influential on Dallas Jenkins in the early days of the Chosen TV series. Could I have your permission? I want to show you a two-minute clip because it's germane to things happening in the world. If we really want to pray the Lord's Prayer right, that includes recognizing the existence of the chosen people, the Jews. And I want you to listen to the question that I asked. Don't miss it. I'm asking him why this demonic hatred towards Jewish people. Check out this short two-minute clip.
And Rabbi, you know, every time history repeats itself, I feel like we pay a higher price. And there are so many Christians right now who are so concerned. And I think the question we're all asking is, why is there such demonic hatred towards the Jewish people? Will you speak to that?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think anti-Semitism, first and foremost, is a spiritual issue. And I think we have to understand the spiritual roots of anti-Semitism. There's a number of reasons. Think about it for a moment. The foundation of Western civilization is Judeo-Christian. It's rooted in the Ten Commandments. It's rooted in the Old Testament. And there are promises to Israel that God would sustain them as a people. If you can destroy Israel, you can say God's a liar. The foundation is faulty. God doesn't exist. Those promises aren't true. That's an aspect of it. Another aspect of it is, you know, the enemy hates everything that God loves. And God has a love and a covenant and a promise to the Jewish people. I grew up in New Jersey. There was a lot of mafia guys there. I was like, forget about it. You're talking to me, right? And you know, right, if you can't get to somebody, what do? You get to their family.
That's right.
And so we can't, you know, Satan can't get to God, so he gets to God's covenant people, you know, the Jewish people. And I think there's another key point too, which is that, you know, Jesus is very clear in the Gospel of Matthew. He is not going to establish the kingdom until the Jewish people say, Baruch haba b'shem Adonai, blessed be he who comes in the name of the Lord. That's basically until the Jewish people welcome him as the Messiah. Well, if you can destroy the Jewish people, you can either prevent the second coming or delay the second coming by having Jewish people lose faith, right, in God, or not want to turn to Jesus as a result of persecution. So for all these reasons, you know, I think this is the historic spiritual root of anti-Semitism.
Wow, I am going to really encourage you to check out the broadcast. However you consume media, you can go to PowerPoint and you can save it on your recorded programs. You can check it out on the YouTube channel. We have a slide here of how you can see it. It's available. In fact, we had to truncate it a bit for TV times, but the interview in its entirety is on YouTube. I want to encourage you to share it with as many people as you can. Now, friends, I've been asked to be the pastor of Worldview of this church, and I want to share something that is a worldview issue. Why do Christians support the right of Jewish people to exist? Well, the Bible is very clear. First and foremost, our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, is Jewish. Right now, Jesus is physically, bodily in heaven, and the Savior that saved you is a Jew, ladies and gentlemen, and he'll always be a Jew. And the Bible says, as believers, we have been grafted into the people of God, the chosen people. Number two, the Jews are God's chosen people. That's Deuteronomy chapter 7, verses 6 through 8. Israel is the God-given homeland of the Jewish people. And I want to be very clear, we are talking about a strip of land that is half the size of New Jersey. I am growing increasingly concerned about Gen Z and generations after who know nothing, little to nothing about history, who do not read but watch 30-second TikTok videos to find curated truth. Friends, we have to think for ourselves. Jesus says, and listen, we can learn from anyone, we can learn from everyone, but I will never let anyone think for me. And I certainly won't allow TikTok to educate me. It means that I'll watch one less binge show a week and I'll actually read. I'll study history and I'll be able to have a conversant faith. For example, the Jewish homeland, and by the way, we have given you all of this today. I'm so grateful to God for Dr. Jason Snyder and the leadership of our adult ministry team. Free today. You don't have to sign up or anything. You can go to the back. They may very quickly run out, and if so, I want to encourage you to get out your phone right now and take a picture of that QR code, because I want you to know from a Christian worldview, and media team, we have people grabbing their phones right now, if you'll just keep that slide up, I want you to know first what the Bible says about God's love for Israel and the Jewish people. Number two, I want you to see key differences between the two largest religions of the world, 2 billion Christians, 1.3 billion Muslims. Having said that, I want to say something. Palestine is a pejorative term of the Jewish homeland. Now, I have a PhD, which means I know a lot about a little, ladies and gentlemen, okay? That's what a PhD knows a lot about, a little. Now, the little I happen to know a lot about is the historical Jesus, Jesus in Judaica, the Roman Empire of late antiquity. Well, there has always been Hitlers raised up through history that have a worldview to destroy God's chosen people. In the second century, it was a guy named Hadrian, the emperor of Rome. He got so tired of the Jews that he decided to decimate the Jerusalem, the capital that had been the capital for 1,000 years, by the way, and he renamed it Aelia Capitolina. And if you watch the special today, I'm going to show you a token, a coin that has his name stamped on it. So he demolished the name Jerusalem, but then Hadrian, all the way back 600 years before the Arabs and Muhammad, he named it Palestine to spite the Jews. So as a Christian, I don't even refer to it as Palestine because I know history, because I know something of what's happened in the land. And for 1,200 years before it was called Palestine, it was called Judea, Samaria, Israel, the land that God promised. And as a Christian who believes the Bible, whether it be ISIS, who was attempting to exterminate the Yazidis just a few years ago. Do you remember the Yazidis, a small race in Syria? ISIS was committing genocide. So as Christians, we stood up against that worldview because we take Galatians 3:28 seriously. There's neither Jew nor Gentile. There's neither slave nor free. There's neither male nor female. We are all one in Christ Jesus. So obviously, we would stand against genocide. We also stand against genocide of the Jewish people. As a clear Christian thinker, it doesn't mean I have to agree with everything the political state of Israel does, but I will always stand with the Jewish right to exist. This isn't hard. It's right there in the Bible. I want to encourage you to pray. We've set up an Israeli fund. A State of Israel Crisis Fund that helps not only the State of Israel, Palestinians, Palestinian Christians, Arab Christians. You know, I would encourage you just to read a little bit more of history. There hasn't been an election in Gaza in over 2 decades. Mahmoud Abbas, who is the proclaimed leader of Palestine, wrote his PhD thesis on Holocaust deniers, supporting it. This is a clash of worldview. And this is why we have a worldview ministry at our church, and it's why we read the Bible. We don't read TikTok, and all God's people said, amen. We have to pray like Jesus prayed, which includes supporting the Jewish people. Number two, we have to pray the scriptures. This is very important. Let's bring up the slide of Corrie Ten Boom. I love Corrie Ten Boom. Speaking of genocide, her sister was executed 12 days before her concentration camp was liberated. I love this way that Corrie would pray. She would sometimes stop in the middle of a prayer, turn pages in her Bible to get a promise worded precisely. She would hold up her Bible and she would say, "Here, Lord, read it yourself." Pray the scriptures. Some of you, you've been having a bad year. I get that. I've had a year of adversity. We need to pray like Habakkuk in the 56 verses of Habakkuk. It's interesting. Habakkuk is an Old Testament prophet. We never really hear what his prophecy is because it's just him talking to God for 56 verses. And you pray too religiously. I love you, but I did too. Can I encourage you not to pray so religiously? Habakkuk saw that God had raised up Nebuchadnezzar because of Israel's disobedience. And he opened up his prayer in Habakkuk and he said, "God, are you dead? Are you dead, God? Where are you, God?" That's how we can really start praying the scriptures. And let me tell you, Jesus wants you to pray like that because your Father, who is in heaven, knows what you need even before you ask him. Let's not pray too religiously. Prayer is casting our anxieties on God, 1 Peter 5, 7. Crying out to God in trouble, Psalm 34, 17. Making our needs known to him in every circumstance, Philippians 4, 6, and 7. It is a desire offered to God, so it is frequent. It is organic. That's the final point that we have today. And, you know, Moses cried out at a crucial time, four verses. We've been through those. Prayer should be a constant conversation, just like I try to have with my children, my wife, and my good friends, and the people that I text, and the funny memes that I send. But have a regular conversation with Jesus. The whole point today is you can do it. And here's the cool thing. We never pray alone. The Holy Spirit always prays on our behalf. So if you don't know how to pray, go home today and just open up the Psalms and just pray one of the Psalms. I want to encourage you to do this. Where are all the dads in the room? Raise your hand if you're a dad or a granddad. Praise God for all these dads. Men, look at me. I want to share something with you. Every dad, every granddad, you are the pastor of your home. I'm not the pastor of your home. You are the pastor of your home. Do you know Jonathan Edwards said, "Dad is the pastor of every home and his family is a little church"? Do you know, Dad, if you'll be committed to church, 90% of the time, your whole family will follow? My prayer is that you'll help your kids develop, and your wife, healthy habits of prayer. I knew I was going to marry the redhead. You want to know how I knew I was going to marry her? The first time I took her out on a date, she had said no twice. I stole her number off the youth roster at the youth ministry. We were going down the cul-de-sac of Knox. And I was excited to try to give her a kiss to end the date. And you know how she wanted to end the date? I had never ended it this way. She was 17 years old. She said, "Jeremy, we're going to pray to end this date." Listen, friends, that was the best prayer I've ever prayed in my life. I knew I was going to marry her at that moment. And do you know what's really cool? My wife and I still pray together. It's another immediate next step. If you haven't tried praying together, it doesn't need to be weird or awkward. Just pray over each other. God, be with Audrey today. Help her with her crazy family and these boys that she's raising. Give her strength when the wheels fall off. Help her, Lord. Those are the kind of real prayers we can pray. Our prayer today in this Distinctives of Discipleship series is that every one of you will leave with a greater habit of prayer. But don't make it too hard. Don't make it harder than Jesus wants it to be in your life. Let's bow our heads and pray, every head bowed, every eye closed, as we quietly come to a special time of invitation. The greatest prayer that we can pray is the prayer to receive Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. I'm not talking about religion or catechism or being confirmed. I'm talking about faith in Christ. Just like the publican and the prodigal who said, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner." Have you ever prayed that prayer? That moment in time, it's a decision to trust Jesus as your Savior. You can do that right now by praying this prayer after me. You can even pray it in your heart. You don't even need to say it out loud. Lord Jesus, that's right. You just pray that in your heart. Lord Jesus, thank you for dying on the cross for my sins and raising from the dead. And right now, by faith, Jesus, as best as I know how, I place my trust in you for the forgiveness of my sins and eternal life in heaven. If you just prayed that prayer, you've been forgiven. You've been cleansed, you've been justified, and we want to celebrate it. How many others would say, Jeremiah, I kind of feel like Amy Carmichael. I've been asking God for blue eyes. He gave me brown eyes. I've got a real need in my life, and I just have to trust the Lord to get me through it. I'm not even sure he'll ever explain it to me, but there's a need in my heart today. I want to pray about this need the way Jesus wants me to pray about it. I'm not going to embarrass you, but can I just pray for you? If you have a real need in your life today about prayer, would you raise your hand so I can just pray for you? No one's looking around all over this auditorium. Hundreds of hands going up. Yes, Lord. The amazing thing about God is he knows all of these needs right now. In fact, he never learned them. He's always known them. Lord, you see all these needs. I'm going to ask you to quietly stand with me. No one moving unnecessarily, but can you stand with every head bowed and every eye closed for a time of decision, please, quietly? We're going to sing a song of invitation. Our pastors are across the front. They're also in the balcony. Maybe it's time for you to have a Jehovah Jireh moment with God and just say, I'm coming forward because I need prayer for a need in my life. Those of you who just prayed to receive Christ, we'd love for you to turn to your neighbor, say, excuse me, find your way to the nearest aisle, and make your way forward so we can celebrate your decision. Another reason to come forward is to join this church. You can do that by, again, coming forward and saying, today, this church is going to be my community of faith. This invitation is not for me. It's not for our worship team. It's for you. It's our way to serve you, to pray with you. And I'm going to encourage Christians here to pray, because there's power when we all pray together. Lord, you've seen all these needs, and now we ask your Spirit to draw. We pray that you would be with every need represented, every hand raised, every heart here, everyone listening. God, meet our needs. We look to you, Lord. We need you. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen.
Thank you for joining us for worship at Prestonwood. As you heard earlier, if you made a decision for Christ, please text JESUS to 74788. We would love to connect with you and give you these great resources to help you grow in your faith. One is a New Believer's Bible with helpful notes to help you study God's Word. The other is a book by Pastor Jack Graham on the next steps to take as you pursue this new life in Christ. As we close, I'd like to thank you for your faithful giving to support Prestonwood and the work God is doing through our ministries. If you would like to give, text word GIVE to 74788 or visit prestonwood.org/give. It's been a joy worshiping with you, and we look forward to seeing you again soon.